Please be seated. It's no secret that some top sportsmen and women earn huge amounts of money, some of them ridiculously so. And well up on the list would be star soccer players. Now, I know they call it football, but down here that just seems to confuse everybody, so let's stick with soccer for the moment. The sheer amounts of money involved came home to me some years ago with a story I saw that one of Australia's then top soccer players received not a payment, but a fine of $1.87 million. That's a lot more than your average parking ticket. So imagine that what you'd have to be earning to warrant a fine of that magnitude. As well as that, he was banned from playing for 4 months, which may have been an even bigger financial loss. Now you might wonder, what could he have possibly done to warrant this astronomical penalty? Did he knife a referee? Had he burnt down a stadium somewhere? No, and in fact, I suspect that a misdemeanor of that sort may have cost him a good deal less. The problem was that he transferred from a club in Qatar to another club in the United Arab Emirates, which evidently is something he wasn't allowed to do. Now, I have to say that I'm not really that much into soccer, though I did once play a season for the Concord Penguins under eights. This was a long time ago, as you can probably imagine, and in Sydney. But then we moved house, and I transferred to the Lugano Pica Soccer Club, whose home ground was a reclaimed garbage tip, but that's another story. What I can tell you is I'm pretty sure there was no transfer fee involved. And it would have been wasted money anyway, because they soon worked out that my ideal position in the team was one called reserve. There's another position, left, right, out, I think. Oh, well, promising career that never quite got off the ground. Look, I don't know about you, but I find it all a bit sad when, and it doesn't matter what sporting code it is, when players transfer clubs purely for the money alone, and where any sense of loyalty or belonging just vanishes. But we do understand what it means to transfer one club to another, one coloured shirt to another, one set of fans to another. You used to belong in one place, but now somewhere else. And in the Bible reading we just had from the Apostle Paul's letter to the church in a town called Colossae, we heard these words. They're right at the end of it. God has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Just as a player might be transferred from one club to another, so we're told that we who believe in Jesus have been transferred from one thing and to something else. And it's these few words from Colossians that I want us to focus on this morning. Because shortly in this service, we're going to baptize Hannah. And baptism symbolizes this truth that we have been transferred from one thing and to another. I'll say this again later, but it's so important, I'll say it now as well. It's not the act of baptism itself which makes this transfer happen. Baptism's a symbol, perhaps a bit like wearing the new club's colours and emblem. The transfer is something that's happened. This symbolic action calls to mind and reflects the transfer which has taken place. Well, the Bible says we've been transferred from the dominion of darkness. And maybe it's not clear at first exactly what that might mean. I suppose many of us have at times in our lives found ourselves afraid of the dark. But that's usually because we can't see what's there. There may indeed be something dangerous, or there may be nothing at all. But it's unknown, and that uncertainty makes us anxious. However, it's not that kind of darkness that's intended here. Darkness here in this context is a metaphor for evil and for rebellion against God. I'm not planning to conduct a survey this morning, but I'd be surprised if any of us here will want to argue that everything in the world is perfect, or even that everything is good, or that it's nice. Too many terrible things happen in the world. Too many unjust things. Too many unexplainable things. War in Ukraine. Floods in the eastern states. Shootings. Mass murders. Political assassinations. We may have different views about what causes all these things, but I'm sure we'll find ourselves agreeing there is evil in the world, and that in some way it touches on all of us. More than that, if we're honest, we'll know that no matter how decent we are and how we try to be, that deep down we're all capable of evil at times, whether it's as simple as being angry or mean or jealous or something worse. It's from this dominion of darkness, this pervasive influence of evil that we can never completely shake off, no matter how hard we try, that God has rescued us. Now, there's another word that attracts our attention: rescued. I've been reading this week about the attempt, successful, happily, to rescue the stricken cargo ship which was in danger of running aground near Sydney. The tugboat having to contend with 9-metre waves, and helicopters having to abandon attempts to rescue the crew because the conditions were so bad. But whether it's a sea rescue like that one, or the SES or the fire brigade, it's the kind of thing that happens often enough. They train for it. They practice for the real-life conditions. They do that because they know there'll be times when people are trapped and can't save themselves. And that's exactly the point here. Rescued implies that we had a problem which we couldn't fix for ourselves. It was beyond our capacity, whether we were conscious of that or not. God has acted to rescue us. And I'll say more about that in a moment. But what happens next? Well, of course, we can't conceive of rescuers lifting people out of one dangerous situation only to then throw them into another. Who would, for example, pluck stranded crew members from a stricken ship only to drop them in the sea? Or what fireman is going to pull someone out of a burning room only to leave them trapped on a balcony? In the same way as we hope those rescued will be transferred to safety, so we have been transferred from the dominion of darkness and to something else. We have been transferred into the kingdom of his beloved Son, Jesus Christ, from one kind of realm into another. From one that's affected through and through by evil to one of a totally different character. Our Bible passage goes on to add in verse 14 that in Jesus we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Now, redemption's another important word to think about. It has its origins either in the slave market or in exchanging prisoners of war. There's some argy-bargy going on over some captured soldiers who were fighting for Ukraine, with some suggesting they might become bargaining chips for the release of Russians. It can happen like that in war. You give us some of ours back, we'll give you some of yours. A trade. Redemption is the process of buying something back or buying someone back. A price is paid, a ransom. And a few lines on from our Bible reading, the Apostle Paul, who wrote this letter, makes clear that it was Jesus' death on the cross which brought about this redemption. He gave his life for us. The result is forgiveness of sins. Everything that you or I had ever done wrong, everything for which we might rightly be held responsible, God offers to forgive. Instead of tension between ourselves and God, instead of estrangement because of our sins, God himself has made peace through Jesus' blood shed on the cross. That is, through Jesus giving his life for us. Redemption, forgiveness of sins, we take hold of them by faith, trusting in Jesus. And we are redeemed, we are forgiven, we are transferred from the dominion of darkness and into the kingdom of Christ. But this is where it's a little different to, say, a transfer between football clubs. See, if you transfer between clubs, you don't play some weeks for the new club, but then occasionally go back and play for the previous one as well. There's a total break. You leave the old to go to the new. In this case, though, even though we've been transferred into the kingdom of Christ, we continue to live for now in the same world. Being rescued from the dominion of darkness doesn't totally remove us from it, but it does mean we belong to a different kingdom and a different king, Jesus Christ, rescued from the dominion of darkness, transferred into the kingdom of Christ. Now, in a moment, we'll come to baptize Hannah. And baptism is about her belonging to the kingdom of Christ. Symbolically, we are moving her from one realm to another. This is a mark of her being transferred in. So you can't half be a Christian. You belong to one of two kingdoms, either the one in the dominion of darkness or the kingdom of Christ. Only two possibilities. But as I mentioned earlier, it's not the water that we're going to use, it's not the words we'll say that will somehow transfer her as if by magic from one to the other. You can see from what we've been saying that it's all through Jesus' death on the cross and through faith in him that transfer comes about. Think of this event today as being like the first day in a new club, being introduced to the team. We have a new member. Of course, Hannah's not old enough yet to have that faith in Christ. She's not old enough to express it for herself. Her parents and godparents are going to do that for her, and they're also going to promise to bring her up in a way that helps her to know and trust Jesus for herself. Our prayer is that in time, everything we say today in anticipation will be true in reality, that she'll know the forgiveness of her sins and belong always to the kingdom of Christ. Now, as we conclude this morning, I want to remind you that none of what I've been saying is true for Hannah alone. It's true for each of us. God has rescued each of us from the dominion of darkness and transferred each of us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Now, that's true for everyone who's a believer in Jesus. And if you are a believer in Jesus, what an encouraging thing it is to be reminded that we have been transferred into the kingdom of Christ, that we have forgiveness of our sins. Or perhaps you're someone who's not sure where things stand between you and God. Well, why not do something about that today? It's way too important to simply ignore or to put off indefinitely. We'd be very happy to give you some help in exploring it, perhaps give you something to read. Just speak to me about it afterwards. God himself has acted to rescue us from the dominion of darkness. God himself has brought about peace through the death of Jesus. And God himself has transferred us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins.